Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Welcome back, family. You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media, and this is the Mid-Morning Empowerment Weekend Edition. It's time for us to get into our conversation now with Pastor Maposa, who's joining us on the line. We're talking about godliness. My pastor, good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for making time to speak with us this morning. I hope that the phone lines will cooperate with us. So we're talking about godliness, which is, you know, it's a prerequisite for Christian leadership. It's championed in Christian literature. And they say its absence is a red light in romantic relationships. So it's clearly a very important part of the Christian journey. It motivates accountability groups. You know, it's an important thing. So I'm looking forward to this conversation. But I guess as we begin it, let's start with just a basic definition of what godliness actually means. What is godliness?
Okay. Thank you so much for letting us know that God is very important. Maybe, simply put, it will be godliness is conforming of ourselves to the character of God. Or rather, maybe conforming of our characters to the character of God, to God. Our thoughts, our feelings, our desires and actions to the character of God, whereby how we think, how we feel, what we desire and how we act is aligned to how God would do that. It is aligned to the character of God, to who God is. You know, when our behavior, our words, our dressing, etc., reflects and takes after who God is. It also maybe involves believing in God as our creator and sustainer, and reverence for his divine character. And on top of it all, the observance of his will. So basically, godliness is being like God in terms of his character.
Interesting. Now, so is there a difference between godliness and righteousness?
There isn't much of a difference.
Okay.
Because pursuing godliness, we are also pursuing righteousness. Righteousness is one of the characters that God has. So as we are aligning ourselves to his character, as we are aligning ourselves to who God is, it also means that we are seeking to become righteous. So they go hand in hand. Godliness and righteousness goes hand in hand.
I like in your explanation and sort of definition how you outlined the different the different ways that it can be expressed or it should be expressed in a Christian's life. So basically the decisions that you make, the way that you dress, the way you eat, the way that you interact with other people, because I know that sometimes we kind of pat ourselves on the back when we've maybe got one part of it right, and yet we're falling short in all the other parts. Is it possible for a human being to actually be godly in character in every aspect of my life? Or is it something that, you know, I'll probably only achieve once I get to heaven? Is it something achievable while I'm still a sinful human being?
It is very possible to achieve godliness. It is something that is achievable while at least we are still here on earth. Let's turn our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11.
Okay.
In the James version, it says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." This is the King James version. The other versions will say pursue after righteousness, godliness, etc. Right? So if the Bible is advising, or if Paul is advising Timothy to say, pursue righteousness, pursue godliness,
mm-hmm.
it means this is something that can be pursued. If it can be pursued, it means that it is a possibility.
Mm.
It means godliness is attainable. It is something that we need to pursue. Yes, indeed, we are sinful human beings. And it's a godliness is different from our nature.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, says, I was made in sin. I was born in sin. So we are sinners. We sin because we are sinners.
Yeah.
And because sinners, godliness is very far from us.
Mm.
But now it is something that if we are willing, we can achieve it. Godliness is attainable. There is therefore, you know, there is need to strive towards godliness for every Christian, because it is only a godly character that can make it to heaven. Because you had asked and said, is it possible to attain godliness whilst on earth, or it's something that we'll attain in heaven?
Mm.
Now, you know, when you read in Revelation, it says that nothing bad is going to be in the city. Nothing bad is going to be found in heaven.
Mm.
So in other words, our sinful characters and our sinful traits, we have to leave them here on earth. We have to let go of them here on earth and then have a godly character, a character that is fit for heaven. We have to attain godliness whilst we are still here on earth so that we can then make it to heaven.
Powerful. So how then do we achieve that? How is it possible? How do we go about that? Is it a list of do's and don'ts that I need to adhere to? How do I actually achieve godliness? And in its most genuine sense, because when we look at, for example, maybe the Pharisees, my assumption, yeah, my belief is that they were keeping the rules. They were even going, yeah, above and beyond and making them even more extreme to kind of prove how holy and quote unquote godly that they were. And yet they were rebuked by Christ. So how do we achieve true godliness?
Okay. So the first thing that we need to consider, or the first thing that we need to take note of, is that godliness cannot be achieved overnight.
Okay.
It's something that we just say, I want to achieve it, then I achieve it right now. But realize that it is a process that progresses during our lifetime. It is a process of attaining godliness. To achieve godliness, it is a process. Why are we saying it is a process? Let's look at the steps of salvation, or the ways of salvation. So remember, firstly, we need to believe that, we need to accept that we are sinners by virtue of Adam and Eve falling into sin in Genesis chapter 3.
Mm-hmm.
And then we, being their descendants, also became sinners,
right,
because of their sin.
Right.
And then when men fallen into sin, God then activates the plan of salvation, which is John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so now, because we were sinners, we were bound to die, because the wages of sin is what is death.
Mm-hmm.
So now God then puts a plan into action in order to redeem us. That is Jesus coming into the world. So the first step that we need is to accept that Jesus came to die for our sins. And when we have accepted that he came to die for our sins, we then take him to be our Lord and our Savior.
Mm.
And so when we have accepted Christ as Lord and Savior and confessed our sins, we are forgiven and justified. This is instantaneous. The moment we accept Christ as Lord and Savior, the moment we confess our sins, Christ is just and he is faithful to forgive us.
Mm.
This is where we get justified. So the first step in our salvation is what is justified. And then after we have accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we are justified, we are forgiven of our sins.
Mm.
But now, at this moment, remember, we are still inclined to sinning. We still have that character which has not yet been changed.
Right.
We come to the second step, which is sanctification.
Okay.
Sanctification is a process which will take our lifetime, or which will take until we die, or until Jesus comes.
Mm-hmm.
So, what happens in sanctification? In sanctification, Jesus is now molding our characters to become just like his character.
Mm.
You know, in justification, Jesus covered us with his what? With his blood.
Mm-hmm.
And we were justified and forgiven of our sins. Now, in sanctification, this is the process whereby he is now giving us his righteousness.
Right.
Whereby he is now teaching us to live in a godly way. He is now teaching us to let go of our sins. He is now shaping our characters to be fit for heaven.
Mm-hmm.
This which will take our lifetime. So during the sanctification, the characters are made to be like the character of God.
Mm.
This is when godliness is shaped, and this is also when godliness is perfected in us.
Right.
You realize we will fall, but then because we are being sanctified, as we fall, we are repenting of our sins. As we fall, we are repenting of our sins and learning from our mistakes,
mm,
and letting go of those things until we have the characters that are like that of God.
Mm.
So the process of sanctification, or the process of achieving godliness, for godliness to be perfected, needs us, or requires us, to allow Christ to live within us.
Mm.
So that we allow him to live within us, so that he directs our paths, so that he directs what we do. Remember, Christ says in Revelations, I stand at the door and I am knocking at the door of the heart. And whoever shall hear my knock and answers, I will come in and dine with him.
Mm.
So he wishes to come into our hearts and dine with us.
Yeah.
And remember, in one of his examples, Christ says, when a demon is cast out of the heart, it goes away.
Mm-hmm.
When it goes away, it will find no place to dwell. And then it comes and checks again if the heart from which it had been cast out is occupied or not.
Mm.
And when it realizes that it's not occupied, then it goes and calls others and they come back. But when it finds Christ occupying that heart, then they cannot occupy it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So when we are Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are doing away with the demons. We are doing away with the worldly occupants of our hearts and allowing Christ to live in our hearts. And now, as Christ is living in our hearts, this is when the process of sanctification, or the process of the making of the godly character,
mm-hmm,
starts, whereby he is now directing our paths. He is now directing how we deal, how we relate with each other, how we live our day-to-day lives, such that we should be willing to say with Paul, it is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me.
Amen.
Because as he is living in me, he is now directing my paths. He is now determining what I do and what I should not do. So in other words, we'll be learning to live according to it, thus saith the Lord, to then say with David, your word is a lamp unto my feet, it is a light unto my path, it is what I follow. So as Christ is living in us, He is teaching us to be godly, to follow God's word. In other words, making of our characters. So the making of godliness is a daily process where we need to allow the Holy Spirit to work in us and to make the best character. Because it is only whilst we are still here on earth that godliness can be made. So if we need to achieve heaven, we need to allow Christ to work in us.
Powerful. Powerful. Now, Pastor, as this is happening, so I have two questions based on what you've just shared right now. I see that there are different sort of responsibilities placed or participation. So you talked about we have to accept Jesus Christ's sacrifice, right? First, when we're trying to achieve godliness, the first step is to accept that Christ died for us. So that is my responsibility. That's my participation in this whole equation. I have to accept what Jesus has done. And then from what I understand, first of all, the sacrifice that he made, he did that without my input. I had no input on that. I had no vote. He died for all of us without our input or participation, right? And then and then he forgives us our sins. All of that is coming from him. And then the sanctification part now, where you say he is now shaping our characters to be more like his own. Is that God's participation or is it mine? Who exactly is responsible for that? What I mean by that is there an effort that I need to put into it when the sanctification is happening? Or am I just sitting there and allowing God to do it all?
I think I have a bad connection, but can you repeat the question? I want to hear if I got you correctly.
Okay, so I was saying that you know how Jesus died without anyone's, we didn't have to participate in that. And then we then accept his sacrifice and then he justifies us, which again, the justification, that is what he does for us. So I'm asking about the sanctification part. Is that what God is doing for us or do we also have to participate in some way for the sanctification process to happen?
Okay, for the sanctification process to happen, we need to allow God to work in us.
Okay.
He is so loving and he is so caring that he gave us the freedom of choice.
Hello, Pastor.
Okay, sorry for my bad connection. I was saying God is so loving and is so caring that he gave us the freedom of choice. And now we are not able to do good on our own.
Mm-hmm.
Is availing.
Oh, we're having a little bit of trouble with the line there. Okay, I can hear you now.
Are we still connected?
Yes, I can hear you now. Hello, Pastor, can you hear me?
Okay, so I was saying on the justification, our part is just confessing our sins. And then when we then come to sanctification, God is so loving and he is so caring that he gave us the freedom of choice. So we cannot get sanctified on our own. We need Christ with the Holy Spirit to work on us so that we get sanctified, to shape our characters. So now our part is that we need to allow God to work on us.
Right.
We need to make a choice of allowing him to work on us and also to make a choice that to accept his I'm looking for this word, to accept his invitation to live within us. So it partly our responsibility, whereby he has failed the solution, our responsibility is to take it up, and then his responsibility is to then work on us. So sanctification, is a process whereby we as the people work hand in hand with God as He makes a character that is seen.
Powerful. I love that. I love that. Now, just as we're wrapping up, unfortunately, we are running out of time. But one thing that I've always been curious about, actually, I have two questions, but let's see if we have time. This one question here, which is, there are people out there who are just genuinely nice people. They're just, you know, they're kind. They give to charitable causes. They're even tempered, but they're not Christians. What is the difference when we look at character? What's the difference between being godly and just simply being a nice person? Can you be a godly person because you have a pleasant character and personality, even though you are not a Christian and therefore have not submitted to the Holy Spirit?
I believe we cannot be godly when we have not accepted God as our Lord and our Savior.
Okay.
Because the development of a godly character requires, firstly, the conversion from us being sinners to accepting Him as Lord and Savior, the confession of our sins, the forgiveness of our sins, and the justification of our sins.
Mm.
And then that, then we then get the character worked on. Which is why Jesus gave an example that many people will come on that day and say, we did so many good works in your name.
Mm.
We prophesied, we did works of goodwill in your name. Remember us in your kingdom. And Jesus will say, I never knew you.
Mm. Mm.
Yes, they did work, which is good, which is commendable. But do we know Jesus?
Mm. Mm. So it's basically a matter of what is motivating that goodness in you. Is it, if it's not coming from God, then it has its own origins and its own motivations. And then just in the last 2-3 minutes that we have, the question that I also have, when we talk about trying to be like God, trying to emulate His character, when you think about someone like Lucifer who got cast out of heaven because he wanted to be like God, what's the difference between being godly or being Christ-like and being or trying to be like God, which got Lucifer into trouble? How do we differentiate between the two?
Okay. When we go to Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 to 15, that's saying, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations?
Mm.
And then verse 18 says, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit.
Mm.
Okay. So, this is Lucifer. This is how Lucifer fell.
Yeah.
First said, godliness is being like God, whereby we are taking after His character, emulating His character, emulating His actions, doing as He would do in terms of character, being like God.
Yeah.
And then now Lucifer said, I will be like the Most High. He wanted to be like God, not to align his thoughts, his words, and his actions to the character of the Most High, but he wanted to be like God in essence.
Mm.
He wanted to be God himself.
Mm. Mm.
Because he wants to put his throne to be like the throne of God. He wants to sit above the stars of God. So in other words, he wants to exalt himself, to make himself one and equal to God.
Mm.
He wants to become God. In other words, worshipped. He wants to be worshipped. He wants to also forgive sins. He wants to be a creator.
Mm.
But our case, in the case of godliness and being godly, and it's we do not want to be God.
Right.
We want to take after the character of God.
Right.
To emulate God is. To emulate.
Hello, Pastor. Can you hear me, Pastor?
Is, and to emulate who God is, to take after his character, not to be at the same level with God. We are still below his, but we want to act just as he would, to relate to other people as he would. But then Lucifer wanted to be at the same level with God. He wanted to be God.
Got it. Well, that's a very clear distinction between wanting to emulate God in his character versus wanting to actually take up his position as God, as the creator of the universe. My pastor, thank you so much for your time this morning. We really appreciate you coming through to speak to us on godliness and how it can actually be achieved. I'm sure that someone out there who thought that it was impossible is hopefully feeling encouraged.
Thank you so much. Thank
you. Really, really sorry appreciate about your time.
Today.
No problem. Thank you so much, Pastor. We were able to get the gist of what you were sharing. So God bless you for your time this morning. Thank you. Family, I hope that you were blessed by that conversation as much as I was. Definitely an eye-opening conversation, especially when it comes to, the difference between wanting to have a Christ-like character, trying to emulate God in his character, rather than trying to take his place, which is what Lucifer was trying to do. Those are not the same thing, right? And then, very important to recognize that as much as there are people who are genuinely good people, nice people, they take care of, they take care of the weaker in society and all of that. But if it's not motivated by Christ himself, that is a different thing to godliness. That is not godliness. Godliness has to be motivated and it has to be done by God. He's the one who comes and does the work within us. And of course, as the pastor said, we also have to participate by allowing him to do the work that he needs to do in order to change us and to shape our characters to be more like his. I hope that that conversation has blessed you as much as it has done me. We're going to take a music break and we'll be right back after this.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.